us is John chapter 1, the first 18 verses. And I have to tell you, you know, you stand in awe of Scripture, but this is really awesome Scripture. And I thought, wow, how can I preach just a half hour or so from this amazing, it's just so rich. But it's really opening up for you and me. You know, this Jesus Christ, he's the one we're celebrating. He's the one, if you're a saved person, he's the one you've made a wholehearted commitment. You've trusted your entire life, your salvation, your eternity. You've trusted that all over to him. And now, this John said, let me tell you, who is this Jesus Christ that you've trusted? Let's get to know him more fully and deeply. So, the living words of God, powerful words of God, John chapter 1, the first 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray just once more for God to really meet with us now. Lord, we're here, we have your Word, and we pray that you'll open all of our hearts. If there are those who don't know you in a saving way, oh Lord, we long for them to know you in that wonderful way. And for us who do know you, we pray that you'll open our hearts to draw near to you. So bless, we pray, for Jesus' dear sake. Amen. I'm really headed for the last part of that last verse, John 1:14, where it says that the one who came, the one who became flesh, is the one who is full of grace and truth. That's where I'm headed, but I'm going to take a little bit of time getting there. I want to just bring us down to at least some of the highlights of this wonderful scripture. So, if you need to know him in a saving way, or if you do know him in a saving way, It matters everything for you to know that this Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. And he's the one you need. Full of grace and truth. So, okay, the wonderful beginning of the passage. And you're getting into right away something that's just way, way over our heads, isn't it? But we're told what God wants us to know. Here is this one who is called the Word. Now we find out, of course, it's the Lord Jesus Christ he's talking about. But when you think of the idea of the word, you think of communicating, and communicating truth. And here's this one who is the word, and it says he was face to face with God. And in this context, pretty soon you figure out that must be God the Father. And here is one who is face to face with God the Father. And then it goes on to say, and the Word was God. So just as the Father is fully God, and just as the Holy Spirit is fully God, so is this one, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, fully God. You say, wow. If you're one, or you know one who says, well, my human mind has got to be the final judge of what I can accept and believe as true or false. Well, right away you hit that stone wall in this very first verse of the book of John. Because my human mind and your human mind aren't going to understand this, but we're going to get the point of it. So there's how many gods? One God. But you find out there are three persons. One God, but three different persons who are each fully God. And that's the God who is, and the God who's revealed to us. And it says that this one, the Word, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I came in for the last part of the Sunday school class, and I heard reference made to one at least of the cults. And there are cults out there that would say, well, yeah, Jesus Christ is very, very great. He was the greatest thing that God ever made. He was maybe Michael the Archangel. He was this great creature, and you ought to respect that. Not what Scripture says, is it? He says He was God. And everything that has been made was made through Him, the triune God working together. And then it says, in Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, very shortly afterward, we're going to find out, well, what's that all about? And you might, if you were just beginning to know this passage, you might think of, well, what it's like to be out there in darkness. Maybe some of you have been in some of those mammoth caves, and they take you way down there, and they turn all the lights out, and they say, hide the shining of your watch and put all your stuff away, and you're out there you're down there in total darkness. And when the light comes back on, you're very pleased about that. You're glad the lighting system is working and you're not left there to find your way back. But this is a deeper darkness and a deeper light. So this one, Jesus Christ, came into our world as a light shining in darkness. And we'll read more about it here, but as you go on in the Gospel of John, you get over into chapter 3, and you find out that Jesus Christ, yes, He is the truth, full of grace and truth, and He shines a light that is a light of truth into our world. But it says, by nature as human beings, we don't want that light. We love the darkness rather than the light. And that's a shocker. It may well, if you're a saved person, may well be a shocker for you when you first started to figure that out. You figured out that by nature, you loved darkness. And darkness in this case is not just physical darkness, is it? It's that which is false, that which is satanic, that which is against God, that which enables you to deceive other people skillfully, but also to deceive yourself in a deadly, deadly way. And when you get to know God's word, that's part of the bad news that sets you up to rejoice in the good news, isn't it? That you and I by nature, that God has left you or me to ourselves just to go the way, well, I'm a good person, I'm an enlightened person, I'm a smart person, and all of that, when the reality is we love darkness rather than light. And it leads to that outer darkness eventually of an eternity in the fire of hell. So, when Jesus Christ, the Word, who came to convey, who is in himself grace and truth, when he came into this world, instead of us by nature welcoming him, we don't want him. We don't want him. And so, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has never been able to overcome that light. And that means then that, let's say, when that day of judgment comes, and it's certainly going to come. I don't believe that. Anybody here doesn't believe? It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's coming. And you'll be there, and I'll be there. And if you don't have the only Savior that's out there, you may try to talk your way out of what's certain to come. And that's a guilty verdict and the eternal consequences. You may try to talk your way out of it. I didn't know. Isn't fair. You didn't let me know these things. It says, no, no. The darkness in you could not overcome the light. That light was there. You held it down. You darkened it, but it was there. And you're guilty and you're accountable. You know, I don't know. There may well be some of us here who don't know Christ in the saving way. I hope that you, every one of you do. But it is very possible. So hear that, because that's not just me trying to get at you. That's God trying to get at you. Now he goes on to say a little bit about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, we're told, came to bear witness to Jesus Christ, the light. It says he wasn't the light, he came to bear witness of the light. And all of this is saying, okay, John the Baptist, we're told in one place, was the greatest figure, I believe I've got this right, is the greatest figure of the whole Old Testament time. So he was a pretty impressive dude, John the Baptist. God says this was a very great gift. But John the Baptist says, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoelace. So I'm just here to bear witness. And again, that's saying, okay, don't get caught up in the idolatry of men, no matter who it is, no matter who it is religiously. Oh, I'm reading this book. Yeah, wow, this is sensational, the writer of this book, this preacher, this lecturer, or this politician, or whoever it is. Don't get caught up in the idea. It's Jesus Christ is the one you want to head for. And once you have found him in the saving way, how's that song go, Charlie? We've only just begun. Only just begun. Then that's the beginning, not the end. Well, okay, I've accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Got that done. I'm okay now. No. You're okay, but you've only just begun. Right? We know that. Okay. So now, down to verse 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Very striking thing. We're told Jesus made everything. He's the creator of everything. And we're told that the whole world that he made, the heavens, the earth, the subatomic particles, all the whole works bears witness to the one true God. So he has infused his created world with light that testifies to him. You've got people who've never ever heard a word of the Bible, never ever seen it, never had anybody witness to them. But that created world bears witness that there's one God, not the gods of idols and all of that, and enough to be accountable. So this is a very powerful thing. But more than that, to have had the scriptures put to you, the true light coming into the world. He was in the world, yet the world did not know him. There again, that's you and that's me by nature. An amazing thing. So we're getting down there now. He came to his own. He came to his own things, that which was his right, that particularly, certainly the world at large, but particularly that one people that had been for so many centuries the channel of his great plan of redemption, the nation, Israel, nation of Israel. He could call them, this is my kingdom, these are my people in a special way. It wasn't the time yet when the gospel was going to go out to all the nations in the way that it now has. He came to his own things, and his own people did not receive him. Now you say, well, that applies to those Jews for the most part. Of course, the first people to get saved were Jews also. But would it not apply all the more to us? He has come to his own people. Who is that? Well, Christendom, the Christian church. And his own did not receive him by and large. Many of us, you know, if you were baptized, I was done as an infant. In two senses of the word done. My mother took me into the high Episcopal church up in Morristown, had me done as an infant. I didn't even remember it. I finally found a paper that said I was done. But also, we were done with going to church. That was it. It wasn't until years later. So, but if you're baptized, you bear relationship to the Christian church, like it or not. And Jesus Christ has come to what is rightfully his. And you've got millions of those who bear relationship in an outward way to the Christian church who do not receive him. Is that not so? And maybe that was, well, certainly was my life story, even though I didn't realize that when I came to Christ at the age of 20. But it's true. So, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Back in the days when unbelief was not so cleverly being hidden in the Christian realm in the 20s and 30s and maybe into the 40s of the last century, the slogan would go out, the fatherhood of God, and everybody is a child of God. You ever heard that? Oh, yeah, said it. True. Go on in this book to chapter 8, you find out that people who don't receive Christ are children. You know, they have a spiritual father, and they're very much like that father, and that father is Satan. John chapter 8, verse 44, it's right there. But as many as receive him, and you certainly find out as to receiving him, don't you, that it means receive him on his terms, not on yours. Certainly over years of being in the ministry, you run into people who say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. You find out that they are relating to Jesus on their terms, but not on his terms. And it's deadly. It's deadly. It leads you in the wrong eternal direction. And his terms are that you're trusting him and not yourself as your Savior and the forgiver of your sins because of that awful, awful price that he paid on the cross. That risen Savior who cried out, "It is finished," and the price was paid. But also as the rightful Lord of your life. And, you know, it's possible for a person to say, "Well, I like the Savior part. I don't want to have to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. But the Lordship part, no, I don't like that part. I want to continue to be my own Lord." Doesn't work. No, you receive him on his terms. As many as did receive him, he has given you the right to become and to be called the children of God, the child of God. So, everybody, every human being is an offspring of God, yeah, but not the child of God in the saving way here. And what an amazing thing. God is my true Father. Wow. Maybe you had a great father, maybe you didn't have a great father. Maybe you had sort of a mix. But to say, "But God now is my Father. And I want to learn all about him, and I want to learn from him." But notice, by nature, light comes into the world, and the darkness in our human hearts and minds say, "I don't want that light." Maybe don't say it openly, but just that's that reaction. "I don't want that. And I will hold that light down out of the darkness of my heart." And even though he came in a special way to those who particularly belong to him, in an outward sense, no, not going to receive him. But then he talks about some who do receive him. And how do you account for that? Now, we'll get a sip of this good stuff here. Is that okay, Mike? Have you, you who know the Lord in the saving way, have you thought, "Why would he want me in his family? Why would he want me in his kingdom? Why would he want me personally as his child?" Very likely, if you're a healthy, growing, biblical Christian, you've asked yourself that many of the times. "Why would he want me?" And you think of the sin that had to be forgiven. And you say, "Why would he want me?" What's your answer? You say, "Well, I was bad. I was kind of rotten, but not as bad as most people. Or there was a spark of goodness in there somewhere." Oh, baloney. No. You say, "No, I loved darkness. I didn't want light. I didn't want him. How come I'm now his child and I do want him? How can I explain that?" And he says here, and I know this is familiar ground, but good for us at this season to think of it again. It says in verse 13, "Well, a birth took place." In fact, we find out a little bit later in John, the new birth, born again, born from above. The explanation for me now being his child and wanting him on his terms more and more in my life is that a birth took place, but it was a spiritual birth. In my case, I'm guessing it was at age 20. It can come at all sorts of different times. John the Baptist apparently from Scripture, was born again before he was born. How about that? But a birth took place. I was given a spiritual birth. I was given a spiritual heart transplant. Well, how could that happen? And he says, well, I'll tell you how it didn't happen. Verse 13, these who have become the children of God were born not of blood. Well, Granny was a faithful, praying believer. Mom and Dad loved the Lord. That doesn't do you any spiritual good, except maybe make you more accountable if you reject their faith. So it wasn't physical heritage that caused you to have that spiritual birth, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It wasn't anything that you instigated, was it? It didn't start from you. It was God, for whatever awesome, amazing reason, said, I'm going to bring you into my family and make you my child. And it wasn't in any way that you deserved it, any sort of thing, any preparation. Well, yeah, I got saved, but I kind of got myself worked up there a little bit more holy, what they used to call preparationism. How do you get saved? Well, you got to prepare, you got to pray, and you got to clean up your act and come to church and just hope that you'll get zapped. That's evil. It's qualified, isn't it? It's evil. How do you get saved? Well, from your standpoint, you trust yourself over to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't think about cleaning up your act and trying to get your heart to be more receptive to the Lord's Word or any of that stuff before you're going to come to Christ. No. You come to Christ. He'll take care of changing your heart and making you more receptive and all the rest of it. And he does a wonderful job of it. So, it's nothing that started from you or me. And I don't know why he chose me. And I don't imagine if you know that you are his child now, you have any way you can explain that, except, I don't know, but I'm so glad that he did want me to be one of his children. All right. Now we're getting down to verse 14. Okay. Remember, that's where we were headed. And we're there. So this one who is the Word, who is God, became flesh and dwelt among us 33 years, lived here in our world. He became flesh. He didn't quit being God, but he also now is fully human. The only thing that he did not have of our humanity is sinfulness. But he was completely human. But one person. Again, how do you figure that? You just say, well, that's what God says, so that's what I believe. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We've seen his glory. Now, up on the mountaintop, of course, he let loose a little bit of that glory. Was overwhelming on the night of transfiguration. And when John the Apostle had that vision of Christ, it was so devastating. The risen, glorified Christ, that he just fell to the ground. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Set him on his feet. But the whole thing of his life, from what those shepherds saw, what Mary and Joseph saw there, all the way through to him ascending into heaven, what they saw on the cross, they were seeing by faith his glory. Doesn't mean that he had a halo. I don't know where that stuff comes from. You know, the mother and Joseph had these halos, and these holy people had these shining, or he had a special glow to him. I don't know. But it was a glory, because this one was God living with us. And now we get, as the only Son from the Father, if you know Christ, you've been made a child of God. But we're talking here about the only Son from the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is full of grace and truth. When you come to know Christ, there is planted in your heart a new life. That means you want to get as close to Jesus Christ as you can. If that's not there in you, by the way, that you want to get as close to Jesus Christ as you can, if that's not there, something's wrong. That's a red flag. That's a big letter concern. Okay, but you want to get this close to him. Now here's the point. As you get closer and closer to Jesus Christ, which you do through his word and by the working of his Holy Spirit, as you get closer to him, you can count that he will be for you, as for this congregation, that he will be for you full of grace and truth. Start with the truth thing. He will shine the light of his word down into you and down into me, and at his own pacing, bring to the fore more and more of the ugly stuff. You say, well, I've been a Christian for 220 years now. Well, then you know what I'm talking about. There's a world of ugly stuff. Even if you've known the Lord for many years and walked with him earnestly, there's a load of ugly stuff. Count on it that in love, in kindness, and in grace, he will shine his light into you and show and bring to the fore that ugly stuff which he knows all along, but you haven't been able to see. And it's a shock. You say, well, I'm supposed to be getting better and better as a Christian. As you go along, you're supposed to get more and more holy. True, but the process includes seeing more and more of the bad stuff. And what happens then? But you say, but he's also full of grace. And that once for all redemptive work on the cross means that as you come to him, say, Lord, here's this ugly stuff, more than I realized. What's going to happen now? You're not going to want me anymore. No, I'm full of grace. Confess it to me, and I will cleanse you anew, and I will embrace you. That's what redemption's all about. It's not about your worthiness. Say, Lord, thought I was pretty worthy. Now I'm seeing all this stuff. I don't like it. You say, that's what redemption's all about. You're not worthy. You never have been. You never will be. But I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to keep working with you. I'm going to keep working with you more and more, make you like myself. And, well, that's really the heart of the message. And let me just summarize it very briefly. This amazing one who you have received as your Savior and Lord, as you continue to come to him and draw near to him and want him, it could be a little scary, but you want him. And you know that's the way to go. And so you're seeking him in his word, and you're asking him to let his word do its good work in your heart. And you can count on it that he'll be full of truth. And every way that he deals with you is a way that's full of truth, including shining that true light into your life. bringing more of the ugly stuff to the floor. But you can count that he's also full of grace. He will never sour on you. He will never throw you away in disgust. Okay, that's it. Full of grace and truth. Let me close in prayer. Lord Jesus, these things are in some ways way, way over us. And yet you've given us down where we are just what we need to know. Thank you that you are such a Savior that we can count that full of grace and truth. May that be worked out in our lives more and more richly, because we want to see you glorified as well as us growing. In your dear name, amen.